Good morning, everyone. How are we this beautiful morning? Yes, we're going to be a responsive church, right? Yes, come on. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. Oh, obviously, and that you meet with Jesus as I'm preaching. So as Pastor Steve said, we have been in this series and we've been focusing on Acts 2 verse 42. And some of you, if you've been in every single session, you're like, oh, I should know Acts 2 42 off by heart by now. If you don't, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll carry on. All right. And as we've been focusing on this, we've just been breaking it down little by little. And I love it. I love when we take scripture and we just sit and we just ponder on it. Because that is what the Lord has called us to do. You know, it says, meditate on his word day and night. It didn't say read his word day and night. It said meditate. So meditate just goes that little bit more than just reading it. You sit with it for a little while and you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. So as we've been going through it, we've been talking in Acts 2:42, and it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Prayer, I'm reading from the NLT, and to prayer. And in that, we've been talking about what does devotion look like. We talked about the apostles' teaching. We talked about fellowship. Did we talk about sharing of meals or did we just do it in practical? I feel like we did it in practical. Yeah, okay, we did it in practical, you know, because we're that kind of church. You know, we just don't read the word. We actually act it out and we do it. And we shared a meal. We had the family lunch. If you were not there, please, the next time you see it, you put that in your diary. You make it a priority. Because the amazing part about it is that it's the time when you get to really fellowship. You know, if you're one of those people that's like, I cannot hold a conversation, take somebody who can hold a conversation and just sit and just listen. Because you know what? It's beautiful because you then get to know people. And then the next time you meet them, you'll be like, oh, I remember what they talked about. Let me have a chat with them about that. You see, every time I'm always learning and teaching about the art of conversation. So nobody can make an excuse because we're the body of Christ and we are learning every day. But today I'm going to focus on they devoted themselves to prayer. You know, this morning, it was beautiful. We started prayer. It was a few of us scattered in the room. By the time we finished and opened our eyes, Pastor Steve was like, oh, hello, church. The room was filled. And I was like, yes, Lord, that is what we're talking about. So if you are not aware, every morning at 9:45, we gather and we just contend heaven for what he's wanting to do, for the service, for what he's wanting to do within our church. And it's just such a sweet and beautiful time. And in that, we actually also get to have different words and scriptures that are said in that time. And as you carry on throughout the Sunday, you're like, oh, remember that time when we prayed about that? Oh my goodness, it's actually happening right now. Or, oh, when we were worshiping, the Lord just went a little bit deeper in some of the things that he prayed about. You know, so if you're just wondering, oh, I'm sitting in my house at 9:45 and just waiting for the time to come, for me to come to church, come and join us. It is amazing and it will transform your life. But don't worry, there'll be other opportunities for you to join prayer. This is not the end. But, you know, I need to get back to the message. They devoted themselves to prayer. So whether you've grown up in church, whether you're a new believer, we all have different understandings of prayer, right? Some of us are like, prayer is a conversation with a friend. It's like having a conversation with a friend, and that friend is God. And you're like, yep, I've got that down packed. Some of you haven't even edged your toe into having a conversation. You're like, that's for everybody else, and I'll just piggyback on their prayers. Some of you have been highly offended by me saying that it is a conversation with a friend, and you're like, no, prayer is intense. Like, you go in there, and you pray until you're sweating, until you have no energy left, until your voice is rasping, and you have no voice. You know, like the man who just come back. But everyone may have different experiences in prayer. But the thing is that as the body of believers, God calls us to pray. He doesn't say it's a good idea. He doesn't say maybe when you have time, pray. He says pray. Continually pray. And when it comes to the word devoted, I love that it says devoted. You know, it didn't say, oh, and they kind of prayed. they devoted themselves to prayer. And when we look into the Bible, that word devoted in Greek is proskuneteo. I practice so hard. Woo, look at that. Pastor Steve, I can also do words. The Greek word is proskuneteo. And proskuneteo means, it goes beyond just that word devoted. It means to be earnest towards something, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend to diligently. Man, that word diligent was just keep, it just kept coming. To give oneself to continually, to wait on continually. It was like, it's just not just the word that you say devoted. It's nice to say, oh yeah, I devoted myself to something. But devoting yourself to something means you're giving your everything. And if you're wondering what that everything is, it's not when things are just going great. It's even when things are not going great and you continually do it. You diligently do it. If you're devoted to something, for some people they're devoted to their garden. And they are very diligent about that. I am blessed because my father is devoted to the garden. And we get to literally eat the fruits of his labor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I support him in all other things that are not getting into the garden. But, you know, you might have something that you're devoted to. Diligently, you watch every season. Whether the season is good or whether it is bad, my father is devoted to the garden. You know, whether it's raining or not raining, he is devoted. Whether it was a good harvest or not a good harvest, he is devoted. My mom, on the other hand, she's devoted when things are going great. And that's a whole different story. She's got other things that she's very devoted to. But, you know, this season, the plum tree started flowering way before time. It was crazy. And then it just started doing things that we'd never seen it do before. So my mom was like, no, it's got a disease. We need to start chopping it. Chop this, chop that. It was so sad because the plums did not taste as great as last year. So we're like, Mom, it's because you chopped it. And she even got her friend to support her. And they're like, yeah. And then Dad is like, you know, he just gives up. He goes, okay, let's just chop. And then she chopped here, chopped there. But, you know, the fruit came, and it came in abundance, but it did not taste great. So I think it was about the chopping that she did. But back to it, you know, when you're devoted to something, you put your time into it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says, never stop praying. That's the kind of devotion that the Lord is asking of us, to be praying continually. You know, some versions say, pray without ceasing. You know, that used to really intimidate me. That's the King James Version. That used to intimidate me as a child because I'd be like, when do I breathe if I'm praying without ceasing? But it's just never stop praying. What does never stop praying look like in your day-to-day life? We live very busy lives. And in our very busy life, the Lord didn't say, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying for 5 to 10 hours. It just says never stop praying. So whether I say a prayer as I open the door and I get into my car, whether I say a prayer as I'm brushing my teeth, whether I say a prayer even as I'm walking towards something, I am being conscious of the fact that my God is hearing. And he says, pray. Never stop praying. So I want to encourage you, what devotion looks like in this place is never stop praying. Prayer is communing with God. It's communication. And it's both parties speaking. Praise the Lord. Yes. Amen. It's not us coming with our long list. And I'm like, yep, I've given you my list. Now that it's you've heard it, can you just get onto that and action that right now, Lord? No, no, no. We speak, he speaks. We speak, he listens. He speaks, we listen. And sometimes you say he's not saying anything. Sit a little bit longer. Give it a little bit more time. Keep coming back because your ear becomes more attuned to how he speaks. We're looking for the audible voice, but actually he's speaking in everything. You know, just this week, I woke up in the morning and man, like, so from Monday to Friday, I live somewhere else for work. And we have morning prayers every single morning. And, you know, I tell the students, because I run an academy, I tell the students, make sure that you're at morning prayers 5 minutes before 8 o'clock. Because when 8 o'clock starts and that person starts leading us in prayer, you do not want to be that awkward person that's making a loud noise as you come into the chapel. And it's an old building, so the floorboards creak. So you can hear somebody coming from a mile away. So, you know, I've said this, I've set the tone. Everybody's always on time. Guess what happened to me on Thursday? I am like, oh my goodness. So I'm running. I've got my bags. I am like going down the stairs. It is just loud. It is loud. And then I have two students behind me going, Taffy, why are you running? I was like, I ain't going to be late with you. I'm going to be in there before you're in there. And I'm thinking, I have bags that I have to offload. So I'm running. I get to outside. I offload my stuff. They overtake me, obviously. And they get into prayer. And as I get into prayer, it says, now we're going to enter into prayer. And here I am, like, you can hear me creaking. And then I sit down. And obviously, it's like, shame, like, I should know better. But in that moment, the Lord is like, raise up your eyes. And in our chapel, it has glass windows. And on it, you just look at the trees. It was a misty morning. But that misty morning that day, with the change of the seasons, the Lord said, how beautiful is my creation. And in that moment, I stood for a while and I said, wow, Lord, I see the scenery every day. Like, you know, I've been there for a few months now. You get used to it. It's just the same trees. It's the, you know. But in that moment, I recognized something of the beauty of what God had created. Even in the busyness of what you're doing, even in the times where you're hurried and you're arriving into something, would you just stop a while and notice what's around you? Because there is beauty everywhere that you are going. And the Lord is ready to speak. And as he spoke to me in that moment, he spoke to me about beauty. He spoke to me about his goodness. I said, wow, Lord, I could have missed that. So I share that story to say that God is speaking all the time. But are we listening? Are we seeing? Are we observant to what he is doing? And sometimes if you just stop a little bit, just for a little bit, for 5 seconds, it literally took me 5 seconds to notice the beauty. The next day, it was misty. The same thing was happening. It wasn't as beautiful, trust me. But not saying that God wasn't there. I'm sure it was beautiful for somebody else. But, you know, in that moment, it was like God met me in that. And then today, his mercies are new again. And he's going to meet you in something else. And he's going to show you something else that's completely different. Because he is the God of the universe. So why would he use the same thing over and over again? Come on. He's way beyond what we could limit him in. So in that, we come before the Lord. We devote ourselves to prayer. But how come sometimes we only do it when it's convenient for us? Sometimes we come to him and we go, oh, this is the season of prayer. And we talk about prayer. We're a praying church. So if you're new to us and you're wondering, oh, is this a once-in-a-lifetime kind of situation? No. We're a praying church. We talk about prayer all the time. So in this, I was like, oh, yeah, we've talked about this. But when we talk about prayer, we also pray as a church. And in that, sometimes you can say, oh, we're talking about prayer, so I'm really going to pray today. The Lord is asking us to pray without ceasing, to never stop praying. But why is it that sometimes we pray for things, and when it doesn't quite go the way that we want it to go, we stop? He didn't say stop praying when it goes your way or when it doesn't go your way. It says continually be praying. Never stop praying. And that's what it means to be devoted. He's asking for our perseverance. He's asking us for us to carry on. When prayer was given to the church, it wasn't just something that was on the side. It's the main thing. Just the same way as reading your Bible is the main thing, prayer is the main thing that the Lord is asking the body of Christ. He didn't just talk about God. They talked with him. You know, when you look in the Bible, it's not just about God. It's about being with God. And as this happens, power, boldness, and miracle, and peace comes in. Can you imagine? Prayer does all of that. It brings power. It brings miracles. It brings boldness, and it brings peace. But sometimes we only focus on the thing that we're comfortable with, the thing that doesn't require that much of me. But we're missing out on the whole buffet. It's going, come on, pray. Press in, devote yourself, and see what can happen. In 1 John 3, verse 22, you know, so a lot of the times we're talking about, you know, we think about prayer and we're like, oh, why hasn't he answered? And as I read these scriptures, I was like, wow, I'd never seen it. I'm always more leaning towards ask and you shall receive. And, you know, a good father gives good things to his children. But as I read this, I was like, oh, this is an instruction that goes one step further. In 1 John 3:22, it says, and receive from him anything we ask. So when we're praying, we're coming before the Lord and we're asking. Because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. So it's saying ask anything from him. But in asking, keep his commands in what pleases him. Sometimes we're asking and we're actually quite not asking in what pleases him. And the way that you're going to know what pleases the Lord is actually when we read our Bible. Because sometimes we pray and we don't have our Bible. And I was laughing at myself today because I was like, okay, I don't need to carry my Bible. I've got all my notes and all my verses are in there. And we're in the prayer meeting. You see the very point I'm about to say, pray with your Bible. So then I'm like, yeah, we're in the prayer meeting. And I'm like, watch this space. The Lord is going to speak about a verse and I do not have my Bible. Praise the Lord because Noelle brought her Bible. And I'm very comfortable with her and I could go into her handbag and take the Bible. So we're in the prayer this morning and the Lord gives me this verse and I'm like, oh, Lord, can I just like kind of skirt around the verse? And God is like, no, read the verse as you pray it out. And I'm like, but I don't have my Bible and I don't know where my phone is. I'm having this whole conversation with the Lord. And he goes, just go and get a Bible and read the verse so we can carry on praying. These are the conversations I have with the Lord. So I look out and I'm like, okay, it's safe. Noelle will be okay with me going into her handbag and getting her Bible. So I get her Bible. I go to the verse and we begin to pray and we pray into it. And I'm like, yeah, lesson learned. I need to carry my Bible all the time, even when my notes are on my iPad. But in that, in verse 22, it's talking about asking and keep his commands and do what pleases him. In 23, it goes on and it extends and it explains to us what it means, what these commands are. And this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commands us. You know, you could have stopped at 1 John 3:22 and said, do you know what? That's too much. God is asking too much. You know, this prayer thing, he's saying pray, and then he's asking me to obey his commands, and oh, this is too much. Like, I just want to ask you, and you give me what I want. But actually, it's just simple. He's saying to believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. So if you've given your life to Christ, you have the gateway to ask the Lord. And to love one another as he commands us. You know, if you have something wrong with your brother and sister, it says go and confess that before you come and pray so that your heart is right. So that when you come to the Father, you're going, okay, Lord, as you are going to forgive me, I have forgiven my brother and sister. It's simple. So many times we get stuck with one verse and we forget. Actually, he's already telling us what to do with that. In 1 John 5, verse 14 to 15, it says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Isn't that just beautiful? And then we go to the verse that everybody knows. Luke 11, 9 to 13, and it says, and so I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Your fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? When we're praying, we need the Holy Spirit. We need all the help that we can get, because I can say all the prayers that I can say, but if it's not in alignment with what God wants, I'm just like releasing noise into the atmosphere. Ask Holy Spirit to come as you're praying. And it says, if we ask, we will receive. So I'm going to focus on 3 points today of what it looks like to be devoted to prayer. So point number one is prayer unites us with heaven. It aligns us with God's heart and will. And we see that in Ephesians 6, verse 18. It says that pray in the Spirit at all times. Again, that Spirit is coming again when we're praying. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. I love how the Amplified puts it. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests. At all times, on every occasion, and in every season, in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. You know, just that verse is calling us to pray, but not just any kind of prayer. It says be specific about your prayers. Be bold enough to come to the throne of God and be like, Lord, I really need to see a miracle in this area. And this is exactly what I need to see this miracle as. Be bold enough to come before him and be specific in your requests. And it just doesn't say when things are going great or when you have the energy to be praying. It says on every occasion, in every season, be praying. And we are called to persevere, not to grow weary. And with that, it's easy to say persevere, but actually sometimes we do grow tired. Sometimes when we've been praying and believing for something and been waiting for so long, we grow tired and we say, when is it ever going to happen? But that is why you're a part of the body of Christ. There are people around you that are willing to stand in the gap with you. Bring someone along on the journey. You know, yesterday I had the honor and the privilege of being with someone and we prayed together. You know, she shared her story. And as she shared her story, I was filled with compassion. But at the end, we were in the middle of Costa. Lord bless the people in Costa. But as we finished, you know, we prayed. We prayed. We encouraged each other before that. But then when we started to pray, everything in me was filled with the Spirit, because we were united as we pressed on in praying for something she's been contending for a while. It makes a world of difference when you bring people along and you pray, because sometimes in the times when you are weary and you are tired, they will have the strength to have faith on your behalf because they love you. If God loves you so much, how much more the friend who is next to you, who goes, I see the pain, and let's stand and let's pray. And that wasn't the end of our prayer. I said, I will continue to pray. You know, in this church, there's a group of beautiful moms who got together, and they started praying for their teenage children. Because they saw a need, and they said, man, this one is too hard for me. Because you know what, some days, those beautiful teenagers, you don't feel like praying for them. Trust me, I've worked with youth. I'm working with young people. Sometimes I go, Lord Jesus, I just need to go to the secret place because this child, I'm about to punch somebody. But I don't punch anyone because of safeguarding and all things beautiful. That never happens. I think it, I don't act on it. But in that, you bring people along. You know, as I only have 11 students, but they come from all over the world. And they come from different places. And we're running a discipleship school that is training leaders that are going to go back into their countries to make a difference. That is a lot to take on. And you know what? The enemy is not sitting back and going, oh, Taffy, that's lovely. Oh, that's just beautiful. Carry on. There. He's going, oh, you think you want to change the world through these children? You got another thing coming. So this week was glorious and it was beautiful. But let me tell you, those children pushed me over the edge. You know, one is something else is happening. One is like, oh yeah, but if you did this better and if you did that, and I'm like, well, really, is that helpful right now? No, it's not helpful. You know? And I'm like, come on, let's focus on what the main thing is, the main thing. But in that, I have a group of people that surround me and pray. As the school is running, I have people that are waking up each morning and I'm one of their prayer points. I cannot do this by myself. Yes, I will be the one that's physically there, but they're the ones on the knees and protecting and putting a hedge of protection around me. Some days are good, some days are not so great, but every time when I have strength to stand up and to love someone in the light of who God has created them to be and not in the light of their behavior at that moment, man, I know it's because those people are praying, because in my own strength, that would be a whole different story. So these amazing women come together in our church and they say, come, let's contend for our teenage children. We want to see the goodness of God in them. What is the thing that is on your heart that you have been praying for alone? Who can you invite on the journey? Church, let's be a people that come together and pray in unity. Because when we're united together, He commands a blessing. The second point is prayer releases power. And I've added a little bit in unity. The place where they prayed was shaken. I love this story. Like I had so much fun when I was reading this. Because I was like, I read the verse and I was like, okay. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I was like, yeah, that's great. But then how? How did that happen? Why did them praying result in the ground shaking? Why did them praying result in them being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking the word of God boldly? And that's why we're going to go back just a few more verses before. And we're going to read Acts 4, verse 24 to 30. And it says, in verse 23, well, what's happened? Pretext. What's happened is that Peter and John were ministering, and as they were ministering, someone who's crippled got healed, and then because of that, there was causing commotion. They were speaking, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and obviously the religious leaders were not happy with that, so they got arrested. So they got arrested, they got put in jail, and then they came before the leaders, and the leaders were like, you need to stop doing that. We see, we can't deny, the person was healed. We can't deny that. But we need you to stop talking about this Jesus person. Because you know what? It's just, it's taking all the attention away from us, basically, is what they were trying to say. So they're like, no, we can't stop talking about this Jesus. Because He is the way, the truth, and life. And we have seen too much to stop talking about it. And they're like, no, but you need to. Anyway, in the end, they're like, you know what? We're not getting anywhere. If we do arrest them or if we kill them, we're going to cause a riot. So let's just release them and let's just hope for the best. And this is the part where they get released. So Peter and John don't just go and go, whew, we've been in prison, let's go take a shower, let's just have some R&R time. No, they literally go to their friends straight after, and this is where we catch the story. It says when they then go to their friends and they tell them what had happened. And in verse 24, the friends, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So this is what they're saying. God, you've done this for David. You've spoken in this way and you've come through for him. In verse 27, they go on to remind again the Lord. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. There is so much happening in these verses. One, Peter and John come to their friends And they tell them, guys, this is what just happened to us. We got arrested and here we are right now. Their friend's response isn't, oh, we're about to fight somebody. Okay, where are they? We're gonna fight on your behalf. No, that is not their response. Their response is that they begin to raise their voices in prayer. When your friend comes to you and shares something that has happened that is unjust, it was unjust what happened to Peter and John. How do we respond? Do we respond in prayer or do we respond in deciphering everything? Like, where was it right? Where was it wrong? What can we do? All of that. No, they raised their voices. But also when they raised their voices, they didn't start by saying, Lord, would you vindict us? Would you be the one who goes and fights on our behalf? No, they raise their voices and they begin to exalt the name of God. When you are praying and you're dealt with something that is unjust, what is your first response? Is it praising the name of the Lord? Or is it telling God what has just happened and how unfair it is and he needs to bring fire and brimstone and all the not lovely things down? No. They begin to exalt his name. They're exalting his name because they're encouraging their spirits to go, man, this is so unjust, but our God is good. They exalted his name. They lifted his name on high. And as they lifted and they're like, okay, we just need a little bit more encouragement here. They go, Lord, but in your word, they're reaching out to the Old Testament now. They go, in your word, in the Old Testament, this is what you did for David. And the Holy Spirit came. And this is how you conquered his enemies. But just in case you've forgotten, right here on earth, when Jesus was walking, you came and you came and you fought on his behalf. Look at how they've touched on the Old Testament. They've touched on the New Testament, which isn't a book yet. But they're talking about current events of what has happened. They're going, God, but you've done this. You have done this for people. So now they then bring their request to God. Now they then say, oh Lord, would you hear us? Would you consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness? Remember what had happened in the story. The reason why Peter and John were called by the leaders, the religious leaders, was because they were saying, don't talk about God. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't proclaim about it with boldness. And here they are, they're coming and they say, Lord, would you give us the boldness to continue to proclaim your goodness, to continue to say that you are great? We will not hold back just because we could end up in jail. Do you have the boldness to proclaim his word like that? They knew in their own strength they did not have the strength. But as they prayed together, as they stirred up their spirit, as they exalted the name of God, they then said, Lord, would you give us the boldness to do that? And they stretched out their hands and they said, Lord, would you heal? Would there be miracles that happen? Just because Peter and John got arrested, they were not discouraged. They did not say, oh, Lord, stop your miracles. They said, more miracles, Lord. More miracles. This is what it means to devote ourselves in prayer. And the last one is that our prayer, when we're devoted to prayer, brings peace. It's the prayer that anchors the heart in anxious times. We're living in a time where it is so anxious to be alive. There is anxiety coming your door left, right, and center. Whether if you even put yourself in a room and never got out, anxiety is happening. People are anxious about things. People are anxious about what's happening in other countries. People are anxious what's going to happen in our own country. People are anxious to say, Lord, do I have enough money to put food on the table? Is the paycheck that I get going to be enough for me to get to the next month? Anxiety is knocking on our door, but guess what the Word of God says? It says, do not be anxious about anything. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's so simple. It says pray. When you're anxious, what do you do? It says pray. Pray and bring your requests. Tell the Lord about your anxiety. Tell the Lord about what you're anxious about. And then begin to lift up your voice and say, thank you, Lord, for the provision. Despite my anxiety, thank you, Lord, for your provision. I thank you because you are God and that you are great. And it says, in that moment, the peace that transcends all understanding. Transcends means it goes beyond what you could ever understand. That's the kind of peace that God gives us. The world gives us a peace that goes away, but the peace that we're being told about right now, it says it goes beyond what we could ever understand. But guess what? He just doesn't stop there. He says, when you pray and I give you peace, this kind of peace is going to guard your heart. It is going to guard your mind. It's going to protect your mind from the thoughts of anxiety that are entering in. It's going to protect your heart from the moments when you feel overwhelmed by a situation. Come on, church. This is the God that we serve. He just doesn't say, I'm going to take your anxiety away. He replaces it and he says, I am going to give you peace. But it's not the peace that the world gives you and it's taken away. It's a peace that is going to protect your mind. It's a peace that's going to protect your heart. That is the God that we serve. So when we devote ourselves to prayer, when we bring our requests to the Lord, he comes in and he goes beyond just answering our prayers. He actually protects us. He protects us from the very things that draw us away from him. Where are the areas where peace has been taken away from you? Where are the areas in your life where peace is robbed every day? For some of you today, that's all you're going to hold on to is Philippians 4, 6 to 7. If that is all you do this week, take that verse and speak it out. Pray it out. Pray it out to your situations. Choose not anxiety, but choose the peace that transcends all understanding. Let it protect your heart. Let it protect your mind. And see what the Lord does. And, you know, he just doesn't stop there. In the next verse, it says, then focus on these things. So after you have released your prayers of anxiety, of things that you're anxious with, after he has brought peace and you have guarded your heart and your mind, it says, focus on this. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. There is beauty around us, even in the midst of the chaos. There is beauty around us, even in the midst when things are not going the way that we want it to. So when you've released your prayer to the Lord, would you stop a while and say, Lord, show me the beauty that is around me so I could focus on that, so that I could praise you, so that I could lift up your name and remember again that you're the God of the universe. So as we close, Chris, you can come up. As we are closing, just a few reminders that we are a praying church. Let's do it together, but also be doing it individually. By doing it individually, set aside time daily. Set it within your routine. Don't try to find time where you don't have time. Set it in something that you're already doing. It didn't say pray for 5 to 10 hours, but please, if the Lord is calling you to pray for that long, please still do. But start somewhere. Even if you're starting with a minute. There's so many different apps that are available to help us. If you're saying, I'm not even strong in prayer. You talked about praying the word of God. I don't even know where to begin. I'm not strong in that. There are different device apps that are available, or different ways that are available, or even talk to someone. They could partner with you. There's an app called the Lectio 365, and it literally prays the word of God each day, morning, afternoon, evening. Get plugged in and begin somewhere. Pray together. Pray in groups. Get some friends and start praying together. It doesn't matter how long it is. If you are a busy parent, or if you have a busy lifestyle, maybe you're driving home, pick up that phone for 5 seconds and say, can we just pray for 2 minutes together? Can we just stand in agreement?
Set that time aside and prioritize to stand together and pray. As we devote ourselves to prayer, let us be persistent and expectant, because prayer moves mountains. I know you all have testimonies of how God has come through for you. Let's be a church that's constantly declaring the goodness and the faithfulness of God, because we stood together and we prayed. We stood individually and we prayed. Amen, church. All right, I'm going to close this up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. The Lord, you enter our busyness. You interrupt the distractions in our lives, and you equip us, you empower us, and you remind us again to pray. You remind us again to commune with you. And Lord, I just want to pray that there might be somebody in this room, Lord, who is hearing me talk about you. Talk about your goodness. Talk about your faithfulness. Talk about what it means to communicate with you, Lord. But they haven't even started the journey of relationship with you. If that is you and you want to start that relationship today, I want to invite you. I want to invite you to raise up your hand right now and say, I want to start a journey with Jesus Christ. And again, this is not to embarrass you, but this is you making a declaration, and we have people that want to walk alongside. So if that is you this morning, I'm going to give you some time to lift up your hand. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you are God and that you are good. For those who have been praying for needs for years on end, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them in this time, that you would encourage them, that you hear. You're a God that hears, and you are a God that brings beauty even in the midst of chaos. For the ones who have found prayer hard, Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged today, Lord, that they would take one step in communing with you, in communicating with you. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are God and that you are sovereign. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in your name.